The following is an exclusive presentation of News Radio KMAN, your home for K-State athletics. This is Wildcat Insider with the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson and Mitch Fortner.
Wildcat Insider on News Radio KMAN. I'm Mitch Fortner with the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. Well, we got a fun show for you because the Cats are going bowling and we know where they're going and who they're going to take on. Plus, yesterday in Lawrence, Wyatt was on the call on the K-State Sports Network from Learfield. The Cats shock the Shockers in Wichita 65-59. But Wyatt, and we also, of course, will get to coaching change, obviously, at Oklahoma, offensive coordinator change, partially, for K-State. But I wanted to start with the draw that K-State got for their bowl game. And coming up on January 4th, it's a Tuesday down in Houston, Texas. The Cats will be taking on the LSU Tigers. There's going to be purple. Going to be some purple, but you might imagine there might be more LSU fans because that's actually a lot shorter of a trip for LSU fans. I mean, it's long enough that K-State fans might consider even flying, but it's mostly a road trip. Meanwhile, Baton Rouge is like 4 hours away from Houston.
Yeah, it certainly would probably be normal to think that LSU would have a terrific turnout there, even with a football team that is 6-6 and finished, I think, 3-5 in the SEC. That certainly makes a lot of sense. With that said, they're a team that has won a national title recently. They're a team that has a lot of national appeal. I like the matchup, to be honest with you, and I haven't studied it anywhere near what I will in the coming days and weeks. But I'm excited for K-State fans to be going back to a bowl game. I know it kind of came down. We were talking for several days about, well, it's either going to be the Cheez-It in Orlando or the Texas Bowl in Houston on January 4th. I think, obviously, when push comes to shove, I think the Cheez-It Bowl selected Iowa State, maybe because of some national appeal with a guy like Breece Hall and Brock Purdy and Matt Campbell, frankly, for that matter. And then even though they were there a year ago, you know they'll travel well. But I'll be honest, I'm not disappointed in any way. I'd love to have K-State play a bowl game in Florida someday, and I hope we do, honestly. But this will be a fun matchup, and I'm looking forward to it. It's good for the guys. Good way to finish it up.
I agree with everything you said about Iowa State getting the call to go to the Cheez-It Bowl for the second time, and was it second time in three years when they played Notre Dame?
Yeah.
So and then K-State, the last time they were at the Texas Bowl was in 2016. So it's been 5 years since the Cats have played down.
And it's
in
a
Houston.
Good bowl, and it's a great facility. They do a really nice job. It's the home of the Houston Texans and NRG Stadium. It's quite nice. Looking forward to it.
I would have loved for K-State to have the opportunity to play an ACC team. It's been since Miami in 2012. That's the last time K-State has played somebody from the ACC. And, well, the seeing somebody from the SEC is kind of a seasonal thing now for K-State.
Seems like it, doesn't it?
Non-conference schedule or going to a bowl game. Last time K-State was at the Texas Bowl, they beat Texas A&M, which, don't get me wrong, that was actually a lot of fun for K-State to see that team to get to 8 wins on that year. And it's always great to have that opportunity, in my opinion, to play an SEC school, especially somebody like LSU that has won national championships. They've had the big hires, and they just got done hiring Brian Kelly from Notre Dame, which is a pretty big hire. But he won't be coaching in the bowl game. Well, you know that's not going to be the case. It's going to be the offensive line coach who's going to step in the interim role for one game.
Yeah.
But you know it's going to be the Brian Kelly story throughout that bowl game. So get ready for that, K-State fans.
Yeah, well, if you're talking about the television coverage, I'm sure that's probably pretty accurate. Let's hope they don't go overboard with it, although I do respect the fact that you know, Brian Kelly is one of the best in the business, and it is a good hire for LSU. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But this should be a little bit about that and more about this year's teams from my perspective, but I'm not a producer either. So, no, but I'm excited about it. This will be a fun bowl season, I think, for K-State. It's a good reward for a good season. There are tons of bowls now and tons of opportunities. Like you, I wouldn't have minded seeing a matchup with North Carolina State or Wake Forest or maybe to a little bit of a lesser degree Clemson, because I know how talented they are. And you know, but then again, Brent Venables is leaving there and headed to Oklahoma, so there are storylines about everywhere, I guess. It's just what it is.
Well, certainly. I didn't want K-State to have to touch Clemson for that storyline, and I mean, knowing how good Clemson has been defensively this year.
Yeah.
Offensively, yeah, if they were anywhere close to where they had been in the last decade,
sure.
And you don't have Clemson in the Cheez-It Bowl, but their defense is still top-notch. It's a defense that only allowed 3 points against Georgia
in their
season opener. But I spent probably too much time this afternoon just kind of looking at LSU because I hadn't really watched any of LSU. If you want to see LSU at their best, go back and watch the highlights of their win against Florida, because they were insanely good against Florida. It was by far their best game when it came to defense turning over, forcing turnovers, interceptions. They had like 3 in the game, and then their running back was really good, Ty Davis Price, who had over almost nearly 300 yards rushing in that game. That was peak LSU.
Oh, yeah.
But if you break down their season, and I guess I'll start offensively, like what I really noticed about their running back, Ty Davis Price, who is a 1,000-yard rusher, 1,003 to be exact, if you take away that Florida game, he ran for just over 700. Break it down by game, that's just a little over 60 yards mm-hmm. a game. And they've only scored 9 times on the ground, 3.2 yards a carry. It's just like I'm not too intimidated by that, you know?
Well, here's the thing. You know, it's great to have a 1,000-yard season. But the reality of it is, and I guess you could, you know, crunch numbers and talk about this kind of stuff all day long, but 1,000 yards, roughly just over 1,000 yards with 211 carries, that's toting the mail a lot.
Yeah.
and it isn't, just kind of pounding ground, right? I mean, this isn't pitching it to Deuce and maybe he'll run 70 yards or 100 yards or whatever. Not that the guy isn't capable. I don't mean that. But they do run the ball, and it's pretty typical SEC football. The non-SEC would have been had we drawn Mississippi State, where I was telling you off air a moment ago, they threw for like 4,600 yards this year, and they had one receiver alone that had like 98 catches. So, yeah, this will be a fun one.
Their quarterback is Max Johnson. He's a big guy, 6'5", 219. He's a sophomore who actually was splitting time with another quarterback last year. Now he's the primary guy for LSU in 2021. But really wasn't too bad. Threw for just over 2,800 yards, 27 touchdowns, just 6 interceptions. What I really noticed about him, he's not a runner. I mean, he's not the guy that's going to have design runs. You know, he's not going to be like a Skylar Thompson or a Will Howard that might just take off and try to go pick up a first down. He will scramble. There's no doubt about that. That's what quarterbacks do.
Sure.
He's accurate on the run, though. He can put it on the money when he's flushed out of the pocket and he's got to make a play. I was pretty impressed from what I saw of him of that. Yeah, he's a good quarterback, but K-State probably has to kind of keep him contained. You know, don't let him scramble, and then things can get a little bit messy for the secondary.
Absolutely. But I think you're on target here with the fact that you're looking at a guy who threw for just over 230 yards a game, but the 27-6 split with touchdowns, interceptions is pretty impressive for a guy completing roughly 60% of his passes. That's pretty good. And again, like, just roughly over 2,800 yards, that's decent. You know, it isn't world-beating, but when you put that with a team that's averaging just a hair over 100 yards a game on the ground, if you really want to know the truth, their numbers aren't – well, I'll say it another way. They're pretty reflective of what K-State has been.
I would agree. They are so offensively, I mean, LSU, they're pretty down the middle run and pass. They're 50-50.
Pretty close.
Pretty much every game.
Yeah.
What I did notice – I noticed like they have had success offensively, but they have been putting up a ton of points. They're only averaging about 27 points a game. but they've had a lot of close games, no doubt about that. I mean, they have competed against really good teams in the SEC. They've played seven top 25 teams, and they've won two of those games, including A&M this in their last game. But offensively, they're only averaging 5.3 yards a play, which is a pretty low number. That's 10th worst in the country, which is actually surprising to see.
Well, again, I think we could banter back and forth on numbers a lot, but I mean, look at the losses. Auburn at home by five, at Kentucky, which is really the one game where they got blown out. They had scored 49 in a win against Florida. Lost to Ole Miss, 31-17. Close, but not that close. But then close loss at Alabama. Overtime loss at home to Arkansas. And then they beat Louisiana and Texas A&M to finish up. So certainly finished up on a pretty strong note. And that's pretty clear.
I don't know exactly how pumped I am yet for this game, though. Like, that might have to be something that grows over time.
Sure.
I probably can't really speak for the entire K-State fan base, but you know, when you lose the last two games of the regular season, one to obviously a very good Baylor team, you might be able to let that one slide, even though you only scored 10 points. But also, K-State losing to Texas, 22-17. You don't score in the second half.
Sure.
I also want K-State fans, though, to realize, though, this is kind of a transitional game where there is no more Courtney Messingham. This might be more like an audition, in a way, for Colin Klein, who's going to be taking over as the OC for this game. I think there's enough there to be pumped about. You can get to eight wins on the season. But I do like the opportunity to be able to beat a storied program like LSU, who's had a lot of success this century with winning football games and winning national championships. It kind of has that, I don't know if 2013 a fair comparison, where K-State played a down Michigan team and rolled into Phoenix or rolled into wherever, Tempe or wherever that game was, and beat Michigan handily with Tyler Lockett having a great game?
Maybe. I hadn't thought that much about it, but I guess what I would say is again, I think these are teams. They're matched up for a reason. You know, not all bowl games are created equal that way, but I think this one is, if you will. I think you've got – I like your perspective on what the game is, because to me, you kind of hit it on the head there that it's really going to be the end of the line for a really pretty large senior class, and there may be one or two or three or four of those guys that make a decision to come back. But this team will lose a lot, including Skylar Thompson, and this kind of will be the last, you know, last performance, last show, if you will. But also, it is a transition into the future, especially with the chains, and we'll talk about that throughout the show, I'm sure. And you do always have to be looking forward. You know, we're not very far from signing day coming up on the 15th of December, and you move forward, and the next thing you know, we're going to look up and we're going to be talking about, you know, late season basketball and spring football, and that's kind of the way it works.
I had to look into this Texas Bowl because just too many people had been telling me ever since it was announced on Sunday that they don't feel good about the matchup. I just thought to myself, really? Like, LSU 6-6. They're 3-5 in the SEC. They can their coach for what they feel is a better hire, and that coach won a national championship a couple of years ago with one of the best teams that have probably ever played college football. I was like, I don't know. I was like, I had to look into it. I was like, is it really that much of a mismatch? And I don't think it is at all.
You mean you're saying you think the fans feel like K-State will be overwhelmed? Is that what you're saying?
I felt like they kind of looked at the name too much.
Oh,
at least
I
from
see.
Just I'm
okay.
Not saying K-State as a whole, like as the fan base, just from some people I talked to about it, and they just didn't like the matchup. I'm like, I don't know. I don't think it's that. I don't think it's a mismatch at all. And I think K-State has a chance, no doubt about it.
Oh, I would be surprised if they don't have a chance. I'm just being honest about that. I think it is. Bowl season is really unique. I've been very, very fortunate. You know that. I've been around a long time. I've done a lot of bowl games. And I think I've seen teams that, you know, I would say that they were there to make a statement and were highly motivated and showed it. Others I've been around haven't taken it quite as seriously and performed, you know, maybe somewhere in the middle of the road or a little less than the middle of the road. You get the point. I mean, it's all for me about – because think about this. K-State played, what was the date of the Texas game? November, well, the day after Thanksgiving. 27th or whatever it was, 26th.
26th.
Yeah. And now their next game is January 4th.
Yeah.
Now put that into perspective a little bit with only basically 15 practices in between. And how much of those early practices, and I think I have my own answer here, I think the first few practices here will be all about those young guys.
Yeah.
And coaching them up.
Well, you know, it's funny you say that because Coach Kleiman had a press conference yesterday in response to getting the bid to play at the Texas Bowl to take on LSU, and he did comment on the young guys getting more practice time, but also, you know, Skylar Thompson, update on his potential to play in the Texas Bowl. What is he doing this week with practice? Thoughts on playing LSU? Courtney Messingham, no longer the OC. That was all brought up in that press conference yesterday, and we will hit the highlights when we come back on Wildcat Insider. Wildcat Insider on KMAN, Mitch Fortner and the voice of the Cats, Wyatt Thompson. Soon we're going to get Wyatt in the old hot seat and ask a few Twitter questions out there from the fan base of Wildcat Nation. We also got to take a look back at the Big 12, not only this past weekend, but what's coming up with the Big 12 and basketball. We get more talk into basketball as we transition more into basketball, and football is kind of in the rearview mirror as now we're ending bowl season. But the questions about K-State football, there's still some to be answered, right? What's the quarterback situation going into the bowl game?
Yep.
Courtney Messingham, he's no longer the offensive coordinator. Who is the future of that position? We're going to touch on these certainly, but also Coach Kleiman, you know, he did meet with the media yesterday, and this was after the bowl game was announced. And it sounded like it was actually just minutes after they found out that they're going to be playing LSU. Coach mentioned, like, when they went to practice yesterday, you know, they didn't know who the opponent was. They just went to practice, they did their thing, and they would find out at a later time. So the prep is going to be starting soon on LSU. But we'll go ahead and get to the audio right now of Coach Kleiman yesterday speaking to the media on a lot of topics.
Can you walk me through a little bit about your decision to make a change at offensive coordinator this week?
You know, it's something that I thought long and hard about, and took a week myself after the game. And I didn't want to make any quick decisions. But, you know, I thought about it long and hard, was on the road for all last week, which probably helped me get away and clear my mind and decide on what's the best thing for Kansas State University. And came back and had a conversation with Gene, and it was my decision that I thought we needed to make a change. That was very, very difficult, as you can imagine, as close as Coach Mess and I are. But I came here 3 years ago to get a program ready to go compete for a Big 12 championship. And this is not about Chris Kleiman. It's not about Courtney Messingham. It's about Kansas State football. And I felt we needed to make a change, and so we did.
What kind of excitement level do you have to see what kind of game plan Colin can put together in that interim role?
Well, I'm excited for Colin and the offensive staff, but I know we're not going to reinvent the wheel in 3 weeks, and I don't want him to think I'm judged solely on what happens here in this three-week prep and one game. And so for me, it's more the leadership, the organization, how he interacts with the coaches, players. I'm going to kind of be a fly on the wall a lot with those offensive coaches to see, you know, the plan that they come up with. And I know that we had a meeting this morning with the offensive staff. They're excited about the challenge, and we didn't know the opponent, didn't know where we were playing. So we'll be on the road this week again, and then we'll start that preparation next weekend.
Is your expectation for Skylar to be the guy in this game?
Yeah. We're practicing young guys this weekend. I don't think Skylar would be able to practice if we practiced today. So we'll have everybody ready. And I don't know if that's going to be Will and Jaron and Jake, who are practicing this weekend, or by next week. And if Skyler, I'll have to give you an update at another time. But everybody, all hands on deck this week with the quarterback position or this game.
What are your general thoughts on playing a program like LSU that has so much history?
Yeah, not far removed from a national championship and so much prestige and history behind LSU football. And it excites me. I know it's going to excite our staff and our team to be able to play a high caliber SEC team that everybody's talked about, heard about, and it'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a big challenge because they have tremendous players, and I know they have a coaching change going on, but they got a bunch of kids that have a lot of pride and want to finish out with a win just like we do.
I'm curious, you named Colin the interim offensive coordinator. What are you going to do with the two vacant position groups for the bowl game?
Yeah, good question, Fitz. Brian LePack is going to handle the tight ends and fullbacks, and I'm excited. Brian's a quality control for us, so we've elevated him. And then I'm going to combination the wide receivers. Christian Ellsworth is a graduate assistant for us that I just think the absolute world of, and helped out Coach Mess, and Christian knows our offense, knows our talent level, knows our personnel, is a great communicator. So he'll handle the wide receivers, but we'll also elevate Will Burnham, and Will will help us at the wide receiver spot as well as on special teams. So the two guys that kind of get elevated and moved up are Will Burnham and Brian LePack, but a lot more coaching responsibilities as well for Christian Ellsworth. So I'm excited for all those guys to have that challenge.
And those two analysts are now on the road recruiting, correct?
Correct. We just elevated those guys this weekend, you bet.
Yeah, one more for you, Chris. You said you're already practicing. The game isn't until January 4th. How are you going to handle all that over the next month?
Well, the biggest advantage from a bowl prep standpoint is development in younger guys. And that's what we did to yesterday and today, is more young guys practice and give those guys just our base offense, base defense, and let those guys play football as well as technique, fundamentals, a lot of special teams drills. And since we're on the road all this week, a lot of the behind-the-scenes people will probably break down some LSU film. But when we come back next weekend to have a couple more practices, we'll do mostly just K-State versus K-State because we'll have not had a chance as coaches to really dive into game plans. But that's still a great opportunity for these young guys to just play football and keep getting better at their craft, keep developing guys. We've got a lot of good young talent here that's been on the scout team. So we need to spend a lot of time with those guys. And so that's going to happen over the next week. And then by the end of next weekend is when we'll start diving into some LSU film.
What was the team's response when they had Colin out there the first practice as, I guess, the interim OC? Did they have any reaction?
I know people are excited for Colin. The amount of respect that Colin Klein has within our program with the history of Kansas State, I know they're really, really excited for him. Once again, we're practicing mostly the young guys, and the older guys are with Coach True, going through some lifting and some running and stuff. So it's mostly young guys, but it's really practice as normal right now. We haven't tweaked anything. We might do that. Once again, we're in a recruiting mode right now. So we're keeping the practice as it would be a spring practice or a fall camp practice.
Chris, I was wondering about you lost some depth at running back in the last couple of weeks. What's that going to look like now behind Deuce?
Yeah, we got some young kids, in DJ Giddens and Devron Withers, Jordan Shippers, CJ Price, are going to get an opportunity. And that's fun for those guys because they're going to get a chance to run with the top guys, and we can get a great gauge and evaluation on those guys. They all have ability, and we'll find out who becomes the guy or guys that are going to either spell Deuce or complement Deuce. And so, you know, we still have number 22 back there, and we all know he's pretty special.
Arnie, if you're listening, I appreciated the question about the running backs because after the recent news that had come out about Courtney Messingham no longer being the OC and also Jason Ray no longer tight ends fullbacks coach, you kind of forget that you did have a couple of running backs going to the transfer portal in Joe Irvin and Jacardier Wright. And so it left the question of, well, who in the heck is going to back up Deuce Vaughn? And deep down, I'm hoping that's the opportunity we get to finally see DJ Giddens, the freshman out of Junction City.
Well, if you go back to the start of fall camp, and I know that's a long ways back, one of the first things out of Coach Klieman's mouth, not the first thing, but one of the first few things out of his mouth was how impressed he was with DJ Giddens in terms of not only his ability, but how he practiced, his approach, the way he fit in. All of those things were significant. Now, he did walk into a scenario where, as Coach said, number 22 is pretty special. At that time, you had Joe Irvin and so on and so forth. Things do change there, and you're right. K-State has had some guys go into the portal. Who hasn't? I'm sure we can talk about that a little bit later, too. But this is, as he said, opportunities for others. What kind of an opportunity? I don't know that we know that yet. Will it be, you know, a half dozen carries or maybe 10? I would say you're not going to take any away from Deuce, but there would be some opportunity for one of those guys there. Interesting that he mentioned up to, what, three guys there with C.J. Price, with Devron Weathers, and with D.J. Giddens. All of those guys, I think, are more than capable.
Yeah, there's only five running backs that are now on the roster. Jordan Shippers is the elder.
Yep, there's another one
of the group because he's a redshirt sophomore. He's a Kansas kid. We did actually see him in the Kansas game.
That's correct.
But then freshman Devron Weathers and DJ Giddens, Clyde Price, this is his second year in the program. We haven't seen him play as of yet. At least I don't think we have.
We have not.
At least in a running capacity, running the football, we have not seen him run the football. Now, when it comes to Courtney Messingham, we will touch more on that in the second hour. Plus, we, of course, will get to K-State men's basketball and their win down to Wichita yesterday. That'll kick off hour number two. But coming up next, it is that time of the show where we get a little bit into the Twitter questions and we really pick the brain of one Wyatt Thompson. That's up next on Wildcat Insider. Wildcat Insider continues on KMAN. I'm Mitch Fortner. Across from me at my 1 o'clock is the voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson. Also give a shout-out to Sage Williams, who's running the show today. All right, let's get to some of those Twitter questions that we've received over the afternoon. Well, Curtis Dawson, he's asking straight up, who is the leading contender right now for the offensive coordinator job?
I figured that would be there.
I think if you ask the people, they would want Matt Wells. And I would certainly think that Matt Wells, the name, is in the conversation.
Sure.
You know, previously, obviously, the last 2.5 years that he was the head coach at Texas Tech, and then previous to that, head coach at Utah. But before he was Utah State – before he was the Utah State head coach, he did spend a year as the offensive coordinator, and that year it was 2012, and they had a pretty good offense when he was the guy as the OC. So, I mean, if I had my choice, I would hope for Matt Wells.
I know there are a handful of names out there, and I guess I'll be probably a little cautious in throwing a bunch of names out there, but I think it would be fair to say you would understand why they would have interest in Matt Wells, because he's been an offensive coordinator, because he's been a head coach. You know, that is pretty valuable stuff right there. The gentleman at North Dakota State's name has been out there. That certainly makes some sense. Don't know kind of where he would be in the mix there, but there are other names too. Here's what I would tell you. I think this is going to be a very interesting hire for Chris Klieman, because I think we all, at least to this particular point, kind of have a sense of what he wants to do, honestly, offensively. And I don't know in all sincerity if we were that this year. I mean, I think we were probably a little bit more pass than run at times. I don't know that that's how he really would like to do it. Hopefully I'm not saying a whole lot here to get people confused or whatever, but identity, I think, is something that people are talking about. What are they offensively? And, you know, there are questions about that. So that's why I think this is going to be a good hire. I'm not trying to evade it, and I think Matt Wells is a really good football coach. I do. But I think there are a lot of guys out there that, I'm just being blunt about this, that most people may not know a lot about that could be in the mix of this thing.
Yeah, and the two, I've heard two names, and I can't really, I mean, like you, I can't really throw out a name there and say, like, this is the number one guy on the list. He's at the top of the list.
Sure.
Cats don't get him to go to number two, that kind of thing. I can't tell you that. But one of the names, Matt Wells, the other one I've seen throw out there is the offensive coordinator of Wyoming is Tim Pulisic, which I'm not sure if this is exactly how you say his name, but taking a guess there, maybe he could be the next guy. He's also another one of Coach Klieman's buddies. They have a great relationship. They coached together for three seasons at North Dakota State as Coach Klieman's offensive coordinator, and right. they won championships. Mm-hmm. So it's two guys that I think no doubt Coach Klieman would trust to be in that spot.
Sure. I think when these types of things happen, you look for ties, and there's two, right? It's no secret that the guy at Wyoming and Coach Klieman worked together at NDSU. It's also no secret. Coach Klieman has talked, when we played Texas Tech, he talked about, you know, his friendship with Matt Wells, but more than friendship, how much he respected him as a coach. But I think that, I guess that's what I was trying to say there. I think those guys would certainly be in the mix, and it makes a lot of sense. And there may be one or two more that, you know, may have a tie or two. But I would encourage people to think a little bit more globally, because I happen to think that this is a good position, and I think they'll have some very, you know, some very big interest in this. I hope, anyway.
Let's get to some more of these Twitter questions here, because I know there were some doozies there. From Easy Stevesy, I think I'm saying it right.
Okay.
What's the best movie that you've seen in theaters? Have you been to a movie lately?
You know what? I haven't been to a movie lately. Part of that is on us.
The pandemic, yeah. But I just, do you go to movies in general, like if it's normal?
Yes, but not like I once did. I'll be perfectly honest about that. I'm not as much, I stating this as simply as I can, I have always been a big fan of movies and acting. I've never had that skill set, but I appreciate it very much, and that's, I'm a big fan that way. But I have not gone recently because of work and, you know, sure. Other things, the pandemic and that. If you really want to know the absolute truth, I think, and this will date me a little bit here, I don't think the movies that they're doing today interest me very much like they did at one time.
Like superhero movies? Are you into all the Marvel movies?
I am not.
I'm not either.
No. And I'm not against people that like them, but I mean, I can't name a guy that does some of those suit like The Rock. I can honestly say, and not giggle about it, I have never seen a movie that The Rock has starred in, not one time. Have you?
Oh yeah. Okay. Well, and first of all, I'm very happy that you called him The Rock and not Dwayne Johnson. He's always going to be The Rock to me.
Sure.
Some kid like me that loved the 90s wrestling.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I even kind of go back a little farther. You know, he played for a friend of mine in college. And so I've known a little bit about him for a long, long time. And I don't know why we're talking about this so much. but again, I don't go anywhere in the vicinity of what I used to. But I used to go all the time, a lot.
Were you ever a drive-in movie guy?
Oh, yeah. Back when I was a kid, sure.
Did you ever do the whole sneak in riding in the trunk?
No. My father was way too strict for that. I was fearful of getting caught because I knew what the consequences were of getting caught.
Let's see. We got one more here for you, also from Mr. Easy Stevesy. Do you have a favorite fast food menu item?
Wow, fast food menu item. This is so bad. I guess I'll come clean on this one.
Uh-oh.
Once in a great while, not often, but every now and again, I would go to Sonic and get like a foot-long Coney dog.
Absolutely.
And tater tots.
I'm a big fan.
Are you?
Yes.
Okay. I hate admitting that on the air. I truly hate admitting
let me tell you, I once in a while do the same thing myself. Wyatt.
Do you?
Yes. Yeah. I think it's a great go-to.
Did you think I was going to do like Taco Bell or what?
I wasn't sure where you're going, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, I was a little scared. I was like, yeah, I didn't know where you're going. Have you ever been in the debate? Because this is always a debate with the media, because there's a lot of traveling to Texas, of course.
Sure.
Sometimes out to California. But are you in particular a fan of Whataburger or In-N-Out?
Well, I know they're the media that cover K-State, this is kind of an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
I don't quite get it. Because for me, In-N-Out Burger, 1,000% of the time over Whataburger.
Oh, my God. Show's over. Show's over. Why, so if we had any potential of advertising with Whataburger on this station, it's over.
It's
no,
over.
I'm just kidding.
Are you a Whataburger guy?
I'm a big Whataburger guy
really?
Over In-N-Out, yes.
Again, I don't dislike it. Again, total disclosure here, I think I've had a Whataburger maybe twice in my entire lifetime. Seriously.
Yeah. See, In-N-Out's about like the secret, or not the secret sauce, but like the animal style, do all that gimmick. I hate the fries at In-N-Out. But at Whataburger, there's obviously much more of a selection. Like, people always compare it to, like, well, it's just like another McDonald's. Like, guys, do you realize McDonald's is the biggest fast food franchise in history?
Sure.
You're comparing Whataburger to the biggest fast food franchise in history? That's quite the compliment, actually, the way I see it. But their breakfast is outstanding.
Really?
At Whataburger, yes.
Okay. Haven't done that. I guess I haven't lived as much as you have.
Every time I'm in DFW, Wyatt, I find my way over to where the Whataburger is.
Yeah, I know some of those guys that, I mean, we're friends with all those guys for the most part, and I know some of them may not speak to me again because I just said that, but you know,
there's going to be some that agree.
I don't dislike Whataburger, but to me, my preference is the In-N-Out. I just think it's better burger.
When you said 1,000 times better, it's like you came over and gave me a Charlie horse in the old way.
Hurt your feelings,
it
didn't I?
Stung
I'm sorry.
Me. It stung
I'm sorry.
Me. All right, we're going to wrap up Hour 1 of Wildcat Insider when we come back. One final segment for Hour 1 of Wildcat Insider. Of course, still to come, we're going to take a look back at what happened yesterday at the Interest Bank Arena in Wichita as the Cats beat Wichita State. That was a big win for Bruce Weber, in my opinion. Courtney Messingham, no longer the offensive coordinator. We might have to touch, just maybe touch on Brent Venables. I don't know. Is it a big enough story? We'll discuss. We got to look at Marquette, don't we? I mean, that's coming up on Wednesday. That's a big battle.
You bet.
But let's take a look back at what has happened lately in the Big 12. And, well, obviously the big game was Baylor and Oklahoma State, AT&T Stadium in Arlington. You know, if Oklahoma State wins that game, they have a shot at getting to the college football playoff at the time. But Baylor, they squeaked that one out, 21-16. It came down, like they call it football a game of inches, and Oklahoma State's shot at winning the title and potentially going to the playoff came down to a couple of inches, and Baylor came out with the victory.
I don't know that any of us going into the game thought that Jaylen Warren would not be available after the Bedlam game. I think that was a significant loss for Oklahoma State. I think it affected their ability to run the ball. I think it affected them in the mind a little bit. It's very difficult when you have a guy of that magnitude, and I think he's probably the number one offensive guy on their team with Tay Martin right there alongside. Those two guys have been terrific all year long. It's made Spencer Sanders a first-team All-Big 12 quarterback. Well, you saw what he looked like without him on Saturday, right? And I'm not saying that's the sole reason. I don't mean that. Let's be honest. Spencer Sanders, it was not his best day. With all of that said, I think you have to tip your cap to Baylor. If you'd have said to me Blake Shapen is going to start and he's going to go 17 for 17 to start the game, I'd have thought, wow, that's virtually impossible. But he did it. That, you know, they just kind of grind, don't they?
And they do, yeah.
They just do. I just think they're well coached. They play hard. They play the game the right way. And were they a little bit fortunate to hang on at the very end? Sure. But I thought they just made a few more plays, and that was kind of the difference in the game. To be honest, I thought it was a very entertaining football game to watch.
Well, you know what? Brent Venables, as the DC at Clemson, he was making a ton of money, like $1.7 million. There was one assistant that was making more money, Dave Aranda, who's the coach now at Baylor in his second season. The Spencer Sanders story, he tried to put the team on his back.
Sure he did.
And it didn't work. And you're right. The running game just wasn't what it was or what it should have been for Oklahoma State. And Spencer Sanders, with pressure, ends up throwing four interceptions. He also threw 46 passes in the game, which is the most he's thrown this year by nine. The previous high was 37 against Texas Tech. Mm-hmm. And that was a much easier day for the Cowboys.
And I think on average, if you looked, he'd probably be much more around the 25 throw mark. That's just not what they are. But it's what they became without Jalen Warren. And I guess what I'm saying is in a year where in the Big 12, this was kind of the year of the running back more than the quarterback, right? I mean, think about it like that. I mean, you look at Deuce Vaughn's numbers and think that he's a second-team All-Big 12 guy behind Breece Hall and Bijan Robinson. That's pretty astonishing. A lot of years he would have been in the running for Offensive Player of the Year.
Quickly, did you have any issues with the All-Big 12 teams that came out? Because I had quite a few.
Oh, sure. I think you're always going to have a few. I think you benefit from some things, probably hurt from others. I'm not saying Bijan didn't deserve to be on the team. But I do – it's hard to think that Breece shouldn't be on there with the year he had, too.
I
don't
agree.
Care what their record was.
I didn't have much of a problem with that, but no Echo Boydo on either team. And I thought Daniel Green was better than honorable mention, just to name a couple of my issues with the teams.
All right,
when we come back – the Cats shocked the Shockers in Wichita. Wyatt and I will discuss next.